A reading from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. A reading from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. At the last days will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Please, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be like water and sunlight for the truth that you have planted in our souls. Amen. I love these texts, and I love the sermon title I got to write. Did you notice it? Because I sound weird, don't I? You get where I'm going with this, right? So if you think I sound foreign now, you should have heard me close to 20 years ago when I first got off the boat, as it were. I remember being in a 7-Eleven, and there was an Indian lady, clearly an Indian immigrant, behind the register, which is actually a till, if you're in South Africa. See how much I already translate? And she was behind the register, and I was so excited because clearly she had only been here for a few months, and I had also only been here for a few months. So I was really keen to ask her, how long have you been here? Because there are lots of Indian people in South Africa, and I could hear that she had such a strong accent, and I knew she was from India. And I was looking for a soulmate. I was looking for someone to connect with my experience and understand. So I asked her in my naivete and got the response that she had been here for 18 years. Now that I'm past that mark, I laugh. As I got to the 18 years, I laughed every time one of you or someone else would say to me, "You have an accent," or "I like your accent," right? Boy, oh boy, when I first came, I had a lot to learn. It didn't go over well with the servers when I tried to argue with them that surely they could make a toasted sandwich because it's not that hard. And in a restaurant like Akron Family, those kinds of restaurants, you get those, right? I mean, come on. Grilled cheese, for those of you who are wondering. It used to be a struggle when I walked up in the McDonald's line and tried to order chips with my burger, because they don't serve those. You all eat fries. And then, of course, a few years ago, we had to declare that they were all American fries, right? In the time that I've been here in these close to 20 years, it's only gotten worse. Have you ever been to Dunkin' Donuts and tried to understand all the options and how fast people order because they do it every single day of their lives and they are desperate for their caffeine and so they rattle off their order so super quick. It's this many spoons of sugar and this many pumps of cream or flavoring and it's this size cup. It gets even worse if you go into a Starbucks. What is venti? What is grande? And now, in the last few years, it's a choice between soy milk and almond milk, and it's not just 1 or 2%, right? It's all these different options and flavors. It's hard to think that we can manage to understand ourselves in the midst of that at all. But throw in my accent, and you would swear we were not all speaking English. Of course, it's never happened here, but in some churches, people have said, "Why did you hire this immigrant? I can't understand a word she's saying." And you know, just because I say it with an accent, some people wrestle to say my name. Maybe you had that experience when you first met me or heard my name, Nanette. Because you know the tomato, tomato, potato, potato thing, right? And so you say Nanette in my sounding accent, and surely an American needs to pronounce it differently. Surely it sounds weird and it has to be said Nanette. I don't know. I don't know what to do with your name. With sort of the look on people's faces. And before they wrestled to even say my name or ask me to say it again, there was a look of disconnect. And I think that's what would bug me the most, was that in that moment, there was a look of disconnect. We were different from each other. The person felt self-conscious, and I think they felt they were different, and certainly they felt I was different with my accent. Right? And that's the kind of disconnect that I think we're talking about this morning, the kind of division that keeps us separate from one another. Because there was nothing more joyful for me when I meet someone for that quiet assimilation that happens. Those folk who said they couldn't hear me in the beginning when I would start to pastor them as I would visit with them in the hospital or at dinners or lunches. We would have a chance to talk together. And I think it was even as my story unraveled that they began to get me or to understand the accent, and we grew on one another. It's nice to have that sense of connection and sameness, oneness. Maybe some of you who aren't visiting today have even forgotten that I have an accent. Because, of course, I'm only person in the room, right, with an accent. You all don't have accents, right? You all need to travel more. You need to get out and experience the rest of the world. Because isn't there nothing better than being in a foreign country and you're the special foreigner with the accent and everyone comments on it? Have you had that experience? Yes, some people have. Yeah. And come on, we love our difference, right? We love that things are different and diverse. And so this text that we're presented with today, this Pentecost story, the author of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts was wise indeed. As he wove this narrative together, as he recounted these events, we're given a rich story in the retelling of the day of Pentecost that harkens all the way back to this moment in Genesis. This oral story that has been carried by the traditions through the years. This is a powerful part of the tradition that we carry today, the waters of tradition that come all the way out of the Jewish tradition. It is deep and rich. Let's dabble our toes in this tradition today. Back in the time of Genesis, this would not have been a story that was written down. And it is, in fact, a story. It was carried in the oral tradition, holding great truth, not necessarily fact. Because our biblical scholars tell us that if indeed the people had built a tower to reach to the heavens, those foundations would still be an archaeological site for us today. In the way, imagine the pyramids that are much, much older still stand today. And so we need to look more closely at this text to understand this truth that is being given to us. A truth that is about a people trying to understand themselves in relation to all those different people around them. A story of a people trying to understand themselves in relation to a God who they understood was for them, not against them. So why on earth would God allow for all the difference that leads to division and upset, that leads to the kind of world we've inherited where there are different priorities, different ways of approaching things, different languages and different accents are just the tip of that iceberg, right? And so these people understood. They understood that the truth was that God was calling them to be faithful to God's purpose in the world. This is what the author of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts understood. Because it is as if bookending the story, the day of Pentecost happens and the Holy Spirit is given to the people, a gift to the people, to allow them to reconcile all differences in God. Now, you'll notice that the point of the Pentecost narrative wasn't that all of a sudden on that day, we literally all started speaking the same language, right? That's not really the point, because again, our language is just the tip of the iceberg. It's just the example here of the kind of unity that God's Spirit is calling us to, the kind of unity in God's purpose that we are called to. Because surely those people in Babel who tried to build a tower to reach the heavens sought to replace God. They sought to climb that tower all the way up to the heavens that they might be God, that they might be the center of the world and their universe. And in the Pentecost narrative, we are reminded that through the Spirit of Christ, through the gift of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we are called to work out God's purpose in the world. Albert Camus said, "Great ideas, it has been said, come into the world as quietly as doves. Perhaps then, if we listen attentively, we shall hear amid the uproar of empires and nations, a faint flutter of wings, a gentle stirring of life and hope." Friends, I love that image of the dove, because just now we are going to baptize Amanda, and it is in remembrance of the Jordan River when Jesus went down to be baptized by John that we hold the Holy Spirit's image as a dove. It is as we remember the dove bearing the olive branch and Noah on the waters that we remember the promise of God to us, the covenant of God woven into our lives and our midst. It is this image of a bird that carries this notion, as Albert Camus wrote, that there are great ideas, God at work, the silent and still flutter of wings bringing hope and promise into our world. That is the Spirit of God, the Pentecost narrative, the flitting light presence of God. It's not about us becoming grand in and of ourselves or building up something like the Tower of Babel. Because truly, and N.T. Wright wrote this, those in whom the Spirit comes to live are God's new temple. You and I, as we welcome in the Spirit, Amanda today, as she stands before us and declares before God, I am open. I am saying yes to your yes. I am open and inviting you into my life. That kind of Spirit, when we welcome God in, we become God's new temple. And N.T. Wright says, then we are individually and corporately places where heaven and earth meet. We don't need to build a tower. Amid all the divisions and dissension, amid our alienation and our isolation that honestly, friends, comes to rest in all situations, between family members, between church members, between societies, nations, the balm to that division is our saying yes to the Spirit, our becoming the temple of God. So that whether we're ordering a toasted sandwich or a grilled cheese, we can feel and sense our unity, our oneness of purpose, to be the witness to that flutter of hope and promise coming into the world. Amen.